Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Pevav. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Marie Victoria Bat Jamila. Ruach Hashem Tanichina Began Eden. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting the new Mishnah on Pevav, minayin lepoletet shechvat zera bayom ha-shelishi shehi teme'ah. How do we know that a lady that emits from her body semen, shechvat zera, even on the third day, meaning the zera was in her for 3 days and it came out of her body on the third day, how do we know that that can make the lady contaminated with tum'ah? Which means there is a tum'ah called poletet shechvat zera. That when a lady emits from her body semen, so long as it's still viable, viable means it's still ra'ui to procreate, which means it still has viability to it, then it can make her teme'ah. So the Mishnah is saying, how do we know that even up and until including the third day, it still has viability, therefore if it comes out of her, it could make her teme'ah? Shne'emar, heyu nechonim l'shloshet yamim. We have a pasuk by Matan Torah, that before the Jewish people received the Torah, God told the men to separate from their wives 3 days before. So it seems the issue was not for the men, but the issue was more for the ladies. In order that the ladies will be able to wait 3 days, give the zera a chance to die, so to speak, and after the 3 days they can go to the mikveh, and that even if zera does come out of their body, we won't be concerned because it doesn't have any viability anymore, and they can receive the Torah, betahara, in purity. So the 3 days is an indicator that the zera has life for 3 days, and after that, it is not considered able to be metameh. And the Gemara will go into this in depth, exactly the 3 days, how we calculate it. The Mishnah is the next question. Minayin shemarchitzin et amila bayom shlishi shechal liyot b'shabbat. This question actually is the reason why we have this perek, and all the other questions were by the way, in order to get to this question, which is the only question that has a connection to Masechet Shabbat. The question is, how do we know that we're able to wash a child that his third day of circumcision falls out on Shabbat, meaning use hot water and do things as we treat the child as if he is in sakana, as he still is in danger. Just how do you know that the third day after the Brit Milah, the child is in danger, and therefore you could bathe him even by heating up water and things like that? So the Gemara says, so if we say the third day, a lot of the Rishonim learn, all the more so the second day and the first day. The Hadush is even the third day, if it falls out on Shabbat, that one could be lenient. So it says, Shne'emar, Vayi Bayom HaShilishi Biyotam Ko'avim. The Gemara, the Mishnah brings a proof for when Shimon and Levi went and attacked the city of Shechem. First they had them circumcise themselves, and they waited for the third day in order for them to attack. So it seems that specifically, according to the proof at least, that it's the third day that the pain sets in, and therefore they waited for that specific day. And therefore, we see that the third day is considered pikuach nefesh, and the sakana, and therefore you can mechalel Shabbat. Minayin shekoshrin lashon shel zeorit beros ya'ir ha-mishtalayah. We know that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, they used to send a goat off the mountain on Kippur. The mountain was called Azazel. So the Mishnah tells us, how do we know that the custom was to tie a red string to the sa'ir before they threw it down, and they would take half of that string and tie it to the rock on top of the mountain, and when they would throw it down, miraculously, the red string that was on top of the mountain would turn white. And that was an indication that the sins of Israel were atoned with the throwing the Sa'ir off the mountain. Now, how do we know that they practiced that? Shneimar, the Mishnah quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is actually in Yeshaya. Im yiyu hataachem kashanin. The Navi says, if your sins are going to be red, like the red wool, kashele gelbinu, they will become whitened like snow. So you see, it's an allusion to that custom of the red string that would turn white. Last question of the Mishnah. Minay lesicha shehi kishtiya biyom kippurim. Now we know on Yom Kippur, eating and drinking is forbidden. But sicha, anointing oneself with oil, is also forbidden. That's called sicha. So the Mishnah asks, how do you know that sicha, that anointing oneself, is forbidden just as drinking is forbidden on Yom Kippur? Now, of course, the Mishnah knows that there is a difference between drinking and anointing. Because the law says that only on eating and drinking on Kippur, one is subject to the punishment of karet. However, the other prohibitions, for example, not wearing leather shoes, or the isura of cohabitating on Yom Kippur, or for that matter, sicha, is not punishable by karet. But the Mishnah is asking, how do we know that it is indeed forbidden like drinking? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, afal pi she'en ra'aya ledavar, zeche ledavar. Even though there's not an actual conclusive proof to this, but there's a remez, there's an allusion in the pasukim. Shene emar, as the pasuk writes, this pasuk comes from Tehilim, v'tavo kamayim bekirbo v'chashemen be'asmotav. Says, and just as the water went in him, which implies like drinking, just like the water entered him, bekirbo, v'chashemen, and like oil, v'atzmotav, on his bones. So we see a comparison between mayim and shemen. So that's an allusion that just like mayim is forbidden, so too anointing shemen is forbidden as well. The Tosafot says that the only reason why this is considered a remez, and it's not considered a clear proof, the Tosfot, the second Tosfot on the Daf, says miu ra'aya gimura lo havi mishum dekla lo mishta'e b'shtiya ela b'rchitza. Which is really, when the pasuk says v'tavo b'mayim b'kirbo, it's really referring to bathing and not referring to drinking. Therefore, it's not a clear proof. That's why the Mishnah says it's zecher ledavar. Now, regarding a few points on this Mishnah. Let's go back to the first question that the Mishnah asked. How do we know that somebody that's poletet shechvat zera, a lady specifically, in the first 3 days is teme'ah? Meaning, how do we know the zera has viability? So they brought a proof from Matan Torah. Because we know that God told the Jews before the Torah was given that they have to refrain from being with their wives for 3 days. And the issue was so their wives will have enough time to purify themselves in the mikveh. So comes the Tap Tosfot and says, "Afal pi shebeota sha'ah adayin lo nitna Torah." Even though at that point the Torah wasn't given yet. So therefore, how could you bring a proof for something that happened before Matan Torah? There was no Torah yet. מכל מקום, הסתמה הקפידה תורה על דבר שעתיד להיות טומאה אחר מתן תורה. Which means, obviously we see that the Torah must have been concerned on something that eventually was going to become tameh. So the restriction applied before Matan Torah based on something that was going to be forbidden after. Now Tosfot then asks the question, והפגב ולא הקפידה על זבין ומצורעים ובועלי נידות. Which means, when it came to Matan Torah, if a person was a mitzorah, or a lady was an idah, or a zav, they were allowed to stand at Har Sinai. So then why was the Torah only concerned about semen, about shechvat zera? So the Tosafot says, and it's based on something that we learned in Masechet Berachot and Daf Kaf Bet, when the Gemara said that the Torah has to be given in fear and trepidation. It cannot be given with a lightheaded attitude or in levity. So the Gemara said, and when someone sees Zera, so Zera usually is seen with lightheadedness and levity, as opposed to a Nida or a Zav, that's not a type of Tum'ah that has levity to it. So therefore the Torah was only concerned about the Zera Tum'ah, Baal Keri Tum'ah, for Har Sinai, whether it's for the man or for the lady. The man, it's not a problem. He could just go to the mikveh the same day that he sees Zera. So for the men, you didn't need 3 days. For the men, it would be enough just 1 day to go and dip themselves. The ladies needed 3 days in order that the Zera die first, and then even if it comes out of their body, it cannot render them timim, and then they can go to the mikveh to purify themselves. But only Tum'at Keri, Tosfot says, but not the other Tum'ot, because they don't come with levity. Comes the Gemara. Resha delo kerebi el-Azar bin Azariah. Sefa kerebi el-Azar bin Azariah. Right away the Gemara tells us the first case of our Mishnah, which is the case of Shechvat Zera, that case is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Later on we're going to learn that the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that Shechvat Zera, you do not have to wait 3 days for it to become not viable, but he holds even less than that. So therefore, obviously, the author of the first statement of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He holds actually on the third day already the Zera is okay. So therefore, our Mishnah cannot be going like that. However, Sefa, the end of our Mishnah, meaning the case of that on the third day of a Brit Milah, we're allowed to bathe the child even in hot water, that indeed is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So it seems that our Mishnah, the way we have it, has two authors to it, which means the Resha is not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Sefa is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, Resha delo kerabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Sefa kerabbi Elazar ben Azariah, di'i kerabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Because if you're going to tell me that the Resha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, tehora shama'anale. Already we're going to hear from him that he holds that on the third day the lady would be Tehora, and it says that the Zera is not viable anymore. Now the Gemara says, as an introduction to what the Gemara is going to say, I'll explain to you like this. Whenever you have a Mishnah like this, where the beginning, let's say, is not like one rabbi, and the end is like a different rabbi, so there's two views, there's two ways to deal with such a Mishnah. Some rabbis will just say, there's two authors to the Mishnah, and make it very, very simple. One rabbi said this, and the other rabbi said that. There's another approach where they want to make the Mishnah like one rabbi. Now, to make the Mishnah like one rabbi, you have one or two options. In a case like this, the only way to make it like one rabbi is to change the text. Which means, in the beginning of our Mishnah it says, Minayin lepoletu shekvat zera b'yom ha-shlishi shehi teme'ah. If you change that word to tehora, so then you could make the beginning like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the sefer like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So there is an opinion that says, it's proper to even change a text just to keep conformity in the Mishnayot. I should point out that the Tosafot says they wouldn't just change the text for that reason, unless they knew that there was an existing text out there. Would be just to change the text without any substantial proof that there's such an existing text, just to keep conformity in the Mishnah for the same rabbi, that would not be enough reason. Tosafot says obviously there must have been a text out there that said Tehora. And therefore, there's opinions that would rather take a variant text in order to keep conformity in the Mishnah. Other opinions say no. To keep conformity in the Mishnah, that's not a concern. We would keep the, let's say, the text that says Teme'ah, and say at the beginning is not the Bilazah bin Azariah, and the Sefa is the Bilazah bin Azariah. There's another approach. Sometimes you have conflicting statements in the Mishnah, and the only way to explain the conflicting statements is either to say they're different rabbis,
or you could say there are different cases. It means you could start bringing different differences between the first case and the second case and add conditions in order to make them that they're not arguing. So that's again, one rabbi holds that you'll even make variant cases in the Mishnah to keep conformity, and another rabbi will say no, even the cases are different, we'd rather say one case is from one rabbi and one case is another rabbi. That's a general style when you have Mishnayot like this that don't have names. These are called Stam Mishnayot that don't have names given to them. So therefore, how to go? Do you try to say it's one rabbi, or do you try to say it's two rabbis and not change the text and rather not change the conditions to the cases? Now, the source of all this machloket that she tells us comes from Gemara Baba Metziah, Daf Mem Aleph. Now let's see exactly how it applied over here. So the Gemara says, when we go back to the Gemara, Man delo muke ketanae, the opinion that does not like to establish the Mishnayot like many Tanaim, meaning the opinion that wants to establish the Mishnah like one Tana, he does not want to establish like Tanaim, meaning like different Tanaim. Tana Resha Tehora, he will change the text or choose to go with that text that says in the Resha Tehora Umukila, and he'll establish our Mishnah Lekula Kirebil Azam and Azariah. Right, our Mishnah will therefore all be going like Rebil Azam and Azariah. Uman Demokim Ketanae, and the opinion that has no problem to go and say our Mishnah is talking about different Tanaim, meaning the Resha is not the Bir Azam and Azariah, and the Sefa is Resha Rabbanan. They'll say the Resha is going according to the opinion of the rabbis. The Sefa can be Azam and Azariah. So that is the Mahlok. And that's interesting to point out that the Tosafot, a third Tosafot on the Daf, says that even according to the opinion that wants to say that our Mishnah is going like one Tana, and it went out of its way to even change the text to keep it one Tana, so he asks, according to him, really, this Mishnah that we're reading is part of a larger Mishnah, a Mishnah that we started our Perek with. The first Tana of this Perek was Rabbi Akiva. As a matter of fact, the name of the Perek is Amar Rabbi Akiva, based on the first case, which we discussed, a technicality in Avodah Zarah, based on Rabbi Akiva. So the Tosfot says, anyway, the Mishnah is not going like one Tana. You see that the first case of the Perek is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Well, this case is going like Rabbi Azam and Azariah. So anyway, it's not going like one. So Tosfot says, no, the issue of keeping conformity of one Tana is only on back-to-back cases. Then we'd rather say it's one Tana. True, in this Mishnah you have different shitot, but it's not back-to-back. This case over here of Poleta Chikmatzera and Marchaitzin et Amira is consecutive cases. Then we try to say that it is indeed one rabbi. Comes the Gemara and continues, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. So there's the opinion we were looking for. It's actually in a Braita. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, even on the third day, the Zera is Tehora. Rabbi Yishmael says, Pa'amim Shehen Dalar Onot, Pa'amim Shehen Hamisha Onot, Pa'amim Shehen Vav Onot. Now, what is an ona? Let's define terminologies first. An ona is a time frame, either day or night. Okay, let's say from, let's say, sunrise to sunset would be called one ona. You know, from sunset to sunrise is another ona. Gotcha. So therefore, the way Rabbi Yishmael understands the viability of Shekvat Zera, he says sometimes it's four onot, sometimes it's five or not, and sometimes it is six or not. Meaning like this, Rabbi Yishmael really holds you need 3 days. It's 3 days.
And then after 3 days, meaning on the fourth day, the Zera loses its viability. Now, there is a rule, a Torah law that says, Miksat Hayom Kekulo. Part of the day is considered like the full day. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you can count even the day, let's say, that the lady had the Zera in her, that would be considered as if it is day one. Which means, let's say the lady had relations on a Wednesday. Okay? So Wednesday could still be considered day one, because it's part of the day, right? Part of the day the Zera was in her. You have Wednesday, you have Thursday, you have Friday. That's 3 days, right? And then already Shabbat would be the fourth day. Well, actually, Friday night would be considered already the fourth day, where the Zera would be tahor already, which would not be able to metameha. Now let's discuss it in the realm of onot. Sometimes 3 days can be four onot, sometimes five onot, sometimes six onot. Let's see how that's possible. Let's say, for example, the lady had relations on Wednesday right before sunset. Okay? Let's say Wednesday right before sunset. Let's say sunset is 6 p.m. So you still can count Wednesday. Because bottom line, Miksat Hayom, Kekulot, right before sunset. But how many onot do you have? You have Wednesday night. You have Thursday. You have Thursday night. And you have Friday. That's four onot. By Friday night already she is Teorah, she can go to the mikveh.
So
that's the case. No, again, Wednesday before sunset she had relations. No, that's not in one onah. It's right before sunset.
Okay.
You can count that as a day. But in time frames, your time frame starts Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. So by Friday night already, which is the third day, while only four or not passed. Or you could have it, let's say, five or not. Five or not would be if, let's say, she had relations Wednesday morning. So now you would have Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. And then Friday night already, which is the third day after five or not passed. Or you could have, let's say, she had relations on, let's say, had relations Tuesday night, let's say, the night before. So now already it's possible to have six or not. The point is, it's three-day calculation. It's a three-day calculation, but sometimes it's four or not, sometimes it's five or not, sometimes it's six or not. Actually, we'll read that in Rashi together. Let's read Rashi. Dibura matqil. Rabbi Yishmael, let's read Rashi Dibur Matril. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Pa'amim Shehen Ba'al Lachlok. He's coming to argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Velomar Depoletet Begimul Shemusha Teme'a. He holds that the Zera that comes out on day 3 is indeed Teme'a, Aval Poletet Bedalid Teora, but the Zera that comes out on the fourth day is Teora. Umudina lag, but he agrees the Miksat Hayom Kekulo, that you do count part of the day as a full day. Which is they don't care how many onot it is. Sometimes four, sometimes five, sometimes six. The point is how many days. That's she. Pa'amim shem dalir onot shelemot. Sometimes you have four. She'im shimsha dalet b'shabbatim hashecha. Let's say she had relations on Wednesday, close to sunset. So you still can count Wednesday as day one. Pletata teme'at te'ilat Shabbat. But you have Wednesday night, as I said, Thursday night, Friday. So it's four or not. Friday night comes, it's the third day. Pa'amim shemachamisha or not. Kegon shimsha b'tchilat hayom shel dalet. Let's say she had relations early on Wednesday. So therefore, you have Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, that would be five onot. Pa'amim shem vav. Kegon shimsha b'tchilat nel dalet ben Hashem Hashot. She had relations Tuesday night. She had relations Tuesday, early Tuesday night, let's say. Beginning of the night, ben Hashem Hashot at twilight. So therefore you have the whole Tuesday night is an onah. You have Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday at six onot. And then Friday night would be day three. So therefore that's four, five, and six. That's the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael. Back to the Gemara. Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, Le'olam Hamisha. Rabbi Akiva doesn't go with days. Rabbi Akiva goes with onot. You need five onot before the zera loses its viability. And then he goes on to say, V'im yatzta miksat ona rishona notnim la miksat ona shishit. Which means, and let's say, since he needs five onot, each ona being 12 hours, let's say, so therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's just 5 12-hour periods. It's nothing, it's a shiur of time. And therefore, exactly, not days. And therefore, no, it's five or not. Five complete or not.
Has to be
five complete or not. It's nothing to do with days. And therefore, he says, if let's say you started within the first onah, you started a few hours into it, therefore you have to make it up in the sixth onah, which means a few hours into it. For example, if let's say on Wednesday night, let's say Wednesday night, sunset was 6 p.m. Let's say she had relations at 8 p.m. So now, let's say you count, well, Wednesday night is one onah, but it's minus 2 hours. So Wednesday night, you have Thursday night, Friday night, and now Shabbat morning at 6 a.m., you'd have to wait 2 more hours till 8 a.m. in order to make up the 2 hours of the first onah. Because to him, it's nothing to do with days. He doesn't care 3 days, 4 days. The issue is, it's a shiur of time. So therefore, how much is it? 12 times 5?
60 hours.
Finish, that is his shiur. 60-hour times. So comes the Gemara. So we have a three-way machloket. Let's review the machloket. Three-way machloket Tanaim on the viability of Zera. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, by the third day, Tehora. Whereas Rabbi Ishmael says, no, by the fourth day, Tehora. Whereas Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, nothing to do with days. After the fifth onah, after 60 hours pass, and it's got to be an actual 60 hours, then she is able to become Teora. Amarua Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa. The rabbis said this over in front of Rapapa, meaning this machloket. The Amri La Rapapa de Rabba, and some say Rapapa said to Rabba, Bishlamar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we can understand his opinion. Kirabanan, he'll follow the opinion of the rabbis that we're going to learn later on that says, the Amri Bahamisha Avid Pirisha. We're going to learn the Mahloket later on the events that took place at Har Sinai. Exactly the sequence, which day, what happened. For example, there's going to be a Mahloket between the rabbis and the Biyoseh, which day did the law of abstinence take place? When were the men forbidden? Which day did that start? They could not be with their wives. So the rabbis are going to say that that was on a Thursday. That took place on a Thursday. While everybody agrees Matan Torah was on a Shabbat. So therefore, according to the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's very good. Because you had, according to him, by the third day, you're okay, so you have Thursday. But let's say they got the law of abstinence on Thursday. So you have Miksata Yom Kikulo. Whichever day on Thursday is considered day one. Friday is considered day two. By Shabbat, which was Matan Torah, no problem. They were Teorim, which they could have went to the Mikveh Friday night. And Shabbat, they have no problem. So according to the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, We have an opinion. The Rabbi Yishmael, can it be Yoseh? And the Rabbi Yishmael that says that the Zera only becomes good on day 4, he'll hold like the Rabbi Yoseh that says what? The Amar bedalid avid pirisha. That they made the pirisha on Wednesday. And therefore you had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days, then Shabbat was the 4th day. The 4th day, by then the ladies were teorim, they could receive the Torah, the Torah. So those two rabbis are substantiated, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael, are substantiated by the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yosef. We can figure out exactly which day. Ela Rabbi Akiva Keman. Meaning, who's Rabbi Akiva going like? Which means to him, it's got nothing to do with days. It has to do with time. It has to do with or not. It's the way that she says it on the second wide line. Ela Rabbi Akiva de Amar kol hamisha onot temeah. That he says the first 5 onot she's temeah. Im teflot keman umeecha lamada onot kapid kra hayamim ketiv. Which means the Torah tells us shelosha yamim. The Torah clearly says be prepared for 3 days before, and we know the law of miksata yom kikulo. And therefore, why would you need 5 or not? Technically, you can count day 1. Either you're counting Wednesday or you're counting Thursday. It seems from the Torah, it's a day measurement and not a onah measurement. So comes the Gemara and says, Le'onam kirbi yoseh. Really, I'll tell you, Rabbi Akiva is following Rabbi Yoseh that says what? The Perisha was on Wednesday. But also he follows Rav Ada bar Ahava that says Moshe b'hashkama ala u'b'hashkama yarad. All the Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim several times during the Matan Torah process. Rav Ada holds anytime he went up it was early in the morning, and anytime he came down it was also early in the morning. And the Gemara substantiates that by saying, "Bashkama Allah." How do we know that he used to rise up to Har Sinai early in the morning? That he got up early in the morning and he rose up to Har Sinai. Bashkama Yarad. How do you know that he came down also early in the morning? Lech red ve'alita tavaron imach, which means he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Go down ve'alita and bring up now Aaron with you." Makish yirida l'aliyah. In that pasuk we see the Torah compares the going the makish yirida, the going down, to the going up. Ma aliyah b'hashkama. Just like going up, we know it was early in the morning. Af yirida b'hashkama. So to the yirida was also b'hashkama. So we have pisukim to prove that what Moshe went up early in the morning and came down early. That means on Wednesday morning he came down with the commandment from God that he got the day before, on Tuesday, that God told them, tell the people that they have to separate from their wives. So when did they hear that commandment? Well, he came down early in the morning. That means, according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva says that Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, you had 5 or not. So he says, what do you want? The Torah is telling you that you had 5 or not. Because since we know already the commandment they got was from the morning on Wednesday, so automatically if you make a calculation, and we know the Torah was given when? Shabbat, so automatically you had 5 or not. And then they would go to the mikveh, let's say, Friday night, and they received the Torah Shabbat morning. So the Rabbi Akiva says, the Pesukim tell me that it was 5 or not. So the Gemara says, wait. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu have to come on a Wednesday morning and tell the Jewish people they have to abstain from their wives? Seemingly they'd have to abstain anyway. Why? V'ha'amar avuna Yisrael kedoshin hen. The Jewish people are holy. And they do not have relations during the day. That she tells us that it's not modest. He quotes a pasuk from Mishle on the bottom line in Nashi. It says, "Bozeh derachav yamut." That somebody that acts in a shameful way, God forbid, Yamut. What is this referring to? Somebody that has relations during the day. It's brazen because he's able to see the private parts of his wife. And that's forbidden. And therefore, we know that Tashmish is forbidden in the day. So therefore, why would Moshe Rabbeinu have to come on Wednesday morning? It's a side question. Which means, even with Adam telling us that's forbidden to starting Wednesday morning, anyway the Jewish men would not be with their wives Wednesday morning. Just because of the law of ethics that we know, just Kiddushin, that they don't go with their wives during the day, so they won't look at something they shouldn't look at. So it's a side question. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu, technically he should have said, Rabotai, this law doesn't start till Wednesday night. And anyway, Wednesday is an automatic because of the law of no tashmish during the day.
So the Gemara says, no, there are exceptions. Gemara says, three lines on the bottom, Ha'amad Ava imaya bet afel mutar.
No, there are exceptions. If let's say the room that the people are in is dark, then tashmish is okay, because they're not going to be able to see. So therefore, that's a case where people will be mutar. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to come along and say, even for the people that are in a bet afel, in a dark house, asur.
V'amar Ava v'etim harab papa, tamid hacha ma'afid betalito mutar.
First of all, Rabba went further on and said that a tamid hakam, a scholar, is able to cover himself under the talit in order to make it dark and have tashmish even in the day, which means we trust the tamid hakam not to take advantage of the law, that in a situation where he has to have tashmish so they can cover themselves up. So in those cases, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, even the ones that are permissible to have tashmish in the day are forbidden because the law of Pirisha. But what do you see? It's 5 or not. It's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. We turn to the Hamud Bet. So the Gemara says, wait, Be'at Tevule Yom Ninu. Let's review what the law of Tevul Yom is. We know, let's take a case of a Baal Keri. A fellow had a seminal emission. So he goes to the mikveh that day. Let's say he saw the Keri on Tuesday morning. He can go to the mikveh that day, Tuesday, but he has to wait until sunset. Hey, Shemesh. It's like the first Mishnah that we learned in Masechet Berachot that told us that the Kohanim cannot eat Terumah until they wait until sunset. We're talking about a Kohen that became Tameh. Until sunset comes, they are called Tevul Yom. Which means they have Tahara, but it's pending. They cannot eat Terumah until that time. So it comes out according to this. If the Jewish people, the way you're telling me, went to the mikveh on Friday night the ladies went to the mikveh on Friday night, because we're discussing the ladies over here. So when did the Tara really hit? Not until Saturday night. Because they went after sunset on Friday night. So until Saturday night, they're still considered Tevul Yom. Because you have to wait until a sunset passes. They went after sunset, they went at night. And therefore, technically it comes out that they received the Torah in the status of Tevul Yom. That would come out, which means it's a quasi-Torah. The Torah was not complete. That's what comes out. Look at the top Rashi. Kevan delechud hu shamina. Since according to all the opinions we understand, the bilele Shabbat tablu, that the ladies went to the mikveh on Friday night, havudu tevuleyom kishiglu the Torah. They were considered tevuleyom when they received the Torah. Shelo ayalem me'arif shemesh aharat tevila, because they did not have a sunset after the tevila. Kevan de'achiu. Oh, since that's so, that she finishes the point. Ika lememar. So therefore we're forced to say that they must have went to the mikveh Friday afternoon. And therefore, they went Friday afternoon, they had Erev Shemesh Friday night, therefore they were not Tevul Yom. If that's the case, that she tells us, everybody should push back one onah, which means that all the opinions now are off by one onah. Because we're really allowing them to go to the mikveh before. We're letting them to go during the day. So the Gemara says, top line, Abaye bar Aravin, Rav Hanina bar Avin, Ta'amri Tarvayu, both rabbis said, Nitna Torah Litvul Yom. So they come along and say, no, the Torah was able to be received even when they were Tivul Yom, which is really they went to the mikveh
Friday night.
At night, I can tell you. Aye, they were Tivul Yom, so they were Tivul Yom. Not a problem. So the Gemara says, wait. Yativ more mor v'kamar la lehashmata. So more mor said in front of Rabina this opinion that we just quoted, that the Torah was given to Tivul Yoms. So he goes, Amar le Rabina le more mor. So Rabina told more mor when he quoted this statement over, he said, Nitna ka amart or reuya ka amart. Did it mean it was actually given to Tivul Yoms? Or it would have been worthy to be given potentially to Tivul Yoms, but it wasn't. Amar le reuya ka amina. No. It meant it would have been potentially able, but it didn't happen. Meaning like this. Really? Let's go according to the opinions. Really, let's say they did not receive Tahara until, let's say, Friday night. Which is the Zera, Friday afternoon, according to the opinions, was still viable. But you know what? Even though the Zera was still viable, had it come out, yeah, I'm only talking about where it comes out. You know what they did in the times of Matan Torah? They dipped Friday afternoon. They took a chance. They dipped Friday afternoon. Friday night came. He'arev shemesh. Now whatever comes out of them is already Torah. Now, granted, if let's say according to Rabbi Akiba, or let's say, according to the opinions, let's say, where once Friday night came, let's say the Zera's okay. Granted, if let's say they went to the mikveh Friday afternoon, and something came out of them before sunset, it's going to render them tameh. Then you're right, they would have to go to the mikveh Friday night, and indeed they would have been tibul yom for Matan Torah. But that never happened. Which means, if it would have happened, you're right, it would have been permissible for them to receive the Torah in the Tivul Yom state. So it comes out they really went to the mikveh a little early. They went to the mikveh at a time that the Zera still was viable. But what? It never came out. And therefore, since it never came out of their bodies during that Friday afternoon time, once Friday night came, it was considered Erev Shemesh. Once it was considered Erev Shemesh, so now already whatever came out of them subsequently was not a problem, and therefore they were able to receive the Torah B'Tahara. So he said like this, not that they did receive the Torah B'Tibul Yom, they could have received the Torah B'Tibul Yom, but it never happened. It never happened. Now, the... right? Comes the Gemara and says... It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Vilitbelu bene shimshe. Vilikbelu Torah bene shimshe. So the Gemara asks, let them go and dip bene shimshe Friday night. Bene shimashot they call it, but it's really Friday night. That's the way the Gemara refers to Friday night. And let them receive the Torah as well on Friday night. Which means, why did they push the Torah's giving until Shabbat morning? What's behind this question? Why is the Gemara asking, let them give? What's the problem for the Torah to be given Shabbat morning? The Gemara is saying, let them go to the mikveh, you know, Friday, and let them have the Torah Friday night. So there's something behind this question. Look at Rashi, Vinit Bilu. Exactly. Vinit Bilu Beshimshe. That's Friday night they call Beshem Sheh. She's learned the question specifically according to Rabbi Akiva. The Amarik Pida Torah Minyana Onot. Right? That she holds, and Rabbi Akiva holds what? 5 Onot. Velot Pida Ela Al Hamesh. Right? He says you only need five. Lama lo kibla balayla? Why couldn't they receive the Torah then at night? Midimtin adaboker, from the fact that you see the Torah specifically waited to give the Torah until the morning. You see six or not? Where did the Biyakim get five or not? He should have came to the conclusion. Again, they started Wednesday morning, according to Biyakiva. So it's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. Well, Friday night didn't get the Torah. Must be that's for a reason. Must be because that's still considered Tum'ah. From the fact that the Torah pushed it till Shabbat morning, must be the Biyakiva. It's really six or not. That's the way that she learns the question on the Biyakiva. Tosfot asked the question even according to the other rabbis. Let's read the top Tosfot together. Pirush bekunteras the Rabbi Akiva parich. Right? Now she learned the question is according to Rabbi Akiva. Veri Omer, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, the Rabbi Yishmael, Nami parich. Tosfot is asking on the other rabbis as well. Why? Tenidef me'acha da'onot kapit kera. Which means, learn from here that obviously the Torah is concerned about onot. Because if the Torah was just concerned about days, give it Friday night. Once Friday night comes, it's the third or fourth day. And therefore, third or fourth day, according to the respective opinions. Once already you see they're waiting to the morning, must be there's an onah factor. So therefore, it's a question according to the other rabbis. Why did you say days? It seems the Torah is concerned about onot. So comes giving on answers. I'm going to be a talk. Lo mirosh baseter dibarti. The pasuk says, this pasuk is in Yeshaya again, where God says, in the beginning, lo mirosh, when I gave the Torah, I did not speak in private, in hiding or in darkness, which means it wouldn't be kavod for us to receive the Torah at night, in a night revelation. God wanted to give the Torah in front of the entire world, in broad daylight. Otherwise it would look like we're up to something. So therefore the Goyim would have claims, oh, look at the Torah, he gave it at night, it's sneaky. So therefore, Borei Olam says, really, from the Tum'ah aspect, we could have gave it at night. But what? We don't want to give the Torah b'seter, we want to give the Torah b'galui in the open. Right? So the Gemara says, fine, if that's the case, v'litbelu b'safra d'shabeta, v'litbelu Torah b'safra d'shabeta. Now the Gemara has a different issue. Let them go to the mikveh Shabbat morning and receive the Torah Shabbat morning. Go to the mikveh first and then receive the Torah. What's behind this question? Let's read Rashi. Litbelu b'safra b'shabeta. Ve'lama hutzach. The bet would tell us. I'm just reading the Haggadah Bach with this Rashi. Ve'lama hutzach. Lafrisham b'hashkama diyov nevi'i. Right? According to Rabbi Akiba, when was the hafrasha? Wednesday morning, right? Yifrishu im hashecha, which is according to this, technically, he could have stopped them right before hashecha, and therefore, I don't care about Wednesday, let's say. Leave Wednesday. Start it Wednesday right before sunset. So you technically you'd have Wednesday night. You'd have Thursday. Thursday night. Friday. Friday night count as well. And let them go to the mikveh Shabbat morning. Because according to the Biyakiva, you're concerned about what? You're concerned about onot. So why did you have to stop them Wednesday in order to have them ready Friday night? If the Torah was not given till Shabbat morning anyway, stop them Wednesday night, which is even those people that were allowed to have tashmish during the day. Let them have tashmish during the day. Started Wednesday. The ladies will still be okay by Matan Torah with the five or not. Let them go to the mikveh, the ladies, Shabbat morning, and they'll go straight to Matan Torah. So that's the question. So comes the Gemara and says, אמר ויצחק שלא יהיה הללו הולכים לקבל תורה והללו הולכים לטבילה. Which means we didn't want some people walking to Matan Torah while other people are walking to the mikveh. Which is they wanted in unison everybody together to walk to Matan Torah. Otherwise it would sacrifice from the Ahdut, let's say, or the excitement. We're all going to Matan Torah. No, you have some people have something else on the agenda to go to the mikveh. So they wanted the mikveh to be done already on Friday night, or Friday afternoon, like we're learning, Friday afternoon, in order that everybody will be ready to go to Matan Torah together. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chiya b'Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Yohanan Zu devre Rabbi Ishmael v'Rabbi Akiva. So we quoted already three opinions actually. We have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we had Rabbi Ishmael, we had Rabbi Akiva. Avar Hachamim Omrim, we have a third or fourth opinion. Shesh Onot Shedemot Ba'inan. They hold you actually need six Onot, which means you need not 60 hours, you need 72 hours. So that is the most stringent opinion. So according to that opinion, if you started on Wednesday, so it's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and technically you couldn't go to the mikveh until Shabbat morning. Rashi says, well, let's read Rashi. They hold like Rabbi Yosef, Damar Barba Avid Pirisha. They agree that the Pirisha was done on Wednesday. And it was done in the morning, like we learned to be Akiva said all the things were done in the morning. Which means they really went to the mikveh Friday night, but had to wait. Which means they were still in limbo, which means if they didn't see, then they're okay, they were able to receive the Torah. However, if they would have seen on Friday night, so then they would have to go to the mikveh Shabbat morning, and they indeed would have been Tibul Yoms. Because they had to know. Anyway, they were Tibul Yoms, because if they went on Friday night, they still had to wait till Saturday night. So this opinion will hold. That in the Kanami, Am Yisrael were indeed Tibul Yoms at the time of, or some of the ladies at least, were indeed Tibul Yoms from the fact that they dipped on Friday night. They were still Tibul Yoms until Saturday night. So that's four opinions exactly how it would work. So let's just review again. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that says what? That the Zera is really a two-day item. On the third day, it's already okay. So again, the Pirisha took place on Thursday. So you had Thursday, Friday. So by Friday night already, the ladies were Teorim. Technically, they could have went to the mikveh already on Friday afternoon. They got here Erev Shemesh Friday night, and if you can, we can say that nobody saw Zera on Friday afternoon after they went to the mikveh. Therefore, technically, nobody was a Tibul Yom, meaning they waited till sunset, they became fully Teorim, and they received the Torah in full Tara. The same way we can say according to Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Ishmael said you just need 3 days. So the Bishman says the Pirisha started on Wednesday. So you had Wednesday, you had Thursday, you had Friday. Friday afternoon they went to the mikveh. Friday night you had Ha'ed of Shemesh. According to the Bi'akiva, you needed five onot. He says you started Wednesday morning. So the Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. They could still have gone to the mikveh Friday afternoon. And what? That Ha'ed of Shemesh at night, nobody saw in the interim, so they were okay. But according to the Hakamim, they say you need six onot. It started on Wednesday, the six onot take you to Friday night. So they went to the mikveh, let's say, Friday night, and anybody that saw in between would have had to go to the mikveh Shabbat morning, and indeed would have been okay, but either way they would have been Tibul Yom through the, even if they went Friday night is the sixth onah. Still, it's Zera over there. Now there's no Tibul, there's still Tibul Yom, because you have to wait till Motzei Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chasda. Rav Chasda taught, Mahloket Shepirsha Min Aisha. This whole subject that we're talking about, the viability of Zera, is only talking where it comes out of a lady. Aval Pirsha Min Aish. But when it comes out of the man, which means it's not coming out of there, when it comes out of the man, Teme'a Kozman Shilaha. the deen is, so long as it's still moist, it is teme'ah. Once it dries up, then already it's teorah, which has a different shi'ur. It's nothing to do with time, it has to do with moist or not. Matib Rav Sheshad brings a question. Pasuk says, "Bechol beged, bechol or asher ye'alav shechvat zera," which means it says any garment that is going to have semen on it is going to be tameh. Prat l'shechvat zera sheisiru'a, to the exclusion of shechvat zera that becomes putrid, which means there's a certain time that the shechvat zera becomes putrid, then the garment is not going to be tameh. My love shepresha min ha'ish, and the assumption is what? That we're talking about over here, since the context of the Pesukim, we're talking about a man, it sounds like what? That even if it came out of the man, even though it's still moist, but it's shayach to become putrid, sinuha, and therefore it could be teorah. So that goes against what we just said, because we just said by a man, so long as it's still moist, it's tameh. Now it sounds like, no, that even in its moist state, it still could be sinuha and teorah. The Gemara says, lo, shepirsha min ha'isha. Now this pasuk is talking about where it came out of a lady. When it comes out of a lady, you have, let's say, the shitah 3 days, then already, even if it's still moist, it becomes siduha. But by a man, the factor is moist or dry. Once it's dry, I don't care what day it is, taor. If it's still moist, I don't care what day it is, tameh. By a lady, moist after 3 days, and it comes out of her after 3 days, it's moist, okay, it's going to be teorah. Now, Papa asked some questions. Shechvat zera shel Yisrael b'me'e kutit mahu. Let's say you have the semen of a Jew in a kutit, in a non-Jew. Which means like this, we want to know, is it the same deen? Does the zera that comes out of a non-Jew have the same status that after the 3rd day it's going to be tahor? Now, we only discuss the Jew's semen because the semen of a non-Jew is tahor. It doesn't have any status of tum'ah. So let's say there's the semen of a Jew in a goya. Now what do we have to know this for? Let's say somebody touched it. After 3 days, we want to know, is this semen considered tameh or tahor? Because somebody that touches semen has to go to the mikveh. So the Gemara says like this. Amazing, amazing Gemara. Yisrael did the ihi b'mitzvot. The Jewish people, specifically over here, we're talking about the ladies, that they're worried about the mitzvot, because they have 613 mitzvot, or the ladies that say have less, but probably they have obligations on them. So the anxiety, or the pressure, or the worry that they have to fulfill the mitzvot of God, what does that do to their body? Habil gufayu. It causes their body to become hot. And therefore, what happens to the zera in their bodies? It becomes putrid after 3 days. However, akum delo di'igi b'mitzvot lo. But an akum that they don't have any worries. They don't have any pressure to keep the mitzvot. So their bodies are not that hot. And therefore, could be the zera doesn't become putrid. Which is what makes the zera not viable? The heat of the body that causes it to heat up, and therefore it spoils it. Who has the heat of the body? A Jewish lady that has worry that she has to fulfill the mitzvot. That affects the actual body itself. Therefore, I could say what? The zera after 3 days will become spoiled. Masha'enken and akum don't have pressure about keeping the mitzvot. Therefore, there's no body heat that's generated, so to speak, as much as a Jewish lady. Therefore, could be the zera doesn't spoil, because they don't have that heat. Amazing thing. And what's causing that heat? The worry to fulfill the mitzvot. Or dilma, or maybe I'll say, kevan de'achlin shkatzim urmatzim. Since the goyot, they can eat shkatzim and urmatzim, they can eat all types of things that we're not allowed to eat, that say creatures that crawl on the ground, and shikatim, for example, they can eat reptiles and frogs and bugs and all those type of things. Habil gufayu, and that causes their body to become hot, which is the different types of foods that they eat, that causes their body to have a certain amount of heat, and therefore it'll be the same law. Now, and if you want to tell me that that side of the equation is the correct one, that kevan da'achlish katzimul latzim chabil gufayu b'me'ev behemam mahu. Let's say you have the semen of a Jew in the womb of an animal. What's the question? Isha, I'll say, by a lady, the itla prosdor. The lady has a canal that the zera goes through in her system, which means the ladies, the anatomy of the lady has a canal in there. The canal is protected from air, and therefore it's hot. And therefore I can say, in a lady that has a prosdor, the zera spoils because of the heat. Masra'at. But the anatomy of an animal does not have that canal, therefore it's exposed to air, and therefore maybe it stays cool, and therefore it's not going to be masnagat. Maybe there's no difference. Gemara concludes on that. Tiku. That's for Eliyahu Navi to resolve. Comes Gemara and says, now we're just going to give the schedule of events that took place at the Matan Torah experience. Tanu Rabbanan. Bashishi Bahodesh Nitnu Asir de Berot Israel. We have a braita. One opinion says the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Actually it's referring to the Ten Commandments. What we call Matan Torah is because all of the 613 mitzvot are alluded in the Asir de Berot. Aminu Sa'adja Gaon wrote a sefer proving how all the Taryag are in the Asir de Berot. So we're talking about Matan Torah, it's actually the Ten Commandments. In any event, one rabbi says it was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Bishvarabo. He said, no, it was given on the seventh day. So imagine that, even something so elementary to us is a machloket in the Gemara. What day was Matan Torah? One rabbi says it was the sixth day of Sivan, one rabbi says it was the seventh day of Sivan. Now, based on this, Rashi just brings down a question. We have a pasuk in the Torah that says, it's the first white line in Rashi that quotes this pasuk. It says, Vaychasu ha'anan sheshet yamim, right? It says the cloud hovered over Har Sinai for 6 days. Vayikra il Moshe b'yom ha'shivi'i. And God called to Moses on the seventh day. Now, according to the rabbis that say the Torah was given on the sixth day, so the seventh day was a separate item where God spoke to Moses. No contradiction. But according to the opinion that says the Torah was given on the seventh day, so why does it only say God spoke to Moses? Just say God spoke to the entire people. So that she answers, based on the Gemara, that it means God was giving kavod to Moshe by singling him out. But really it was to Moshe as well as the entire people. So that pasuk is not a problem according to any of the opinions. Either you just learned it was an event that took place after Matan Torah. Matan Torah was on the sixth day, and that pasuk was something that happened after. Or if you say Matan Torah was on the seventh day, that pasuk meant that God spoke to Moshe and Israel, but it singled out Moshe to give him hashivut. Comes the Gemara and says, "Okusra hashivut to Moshe." Amar Rava. Now Rava explains. Now the Gemara is going to explain how they got to this calculation. Everybody agrees that when did they get to Midbar Sinai? Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Now how do you know that? So the Gemara says, "Kiti v'acha," because it says by when they got to Har Sinai, "Bayom hazeh ba'u Midbar Sinai." That on this day they came to Har Sinai. Uchti v'atam. We have another pasuk that says, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim." So we see a Gezeras Shema Hazeh Hazeh. Now we know that when the pasuk that says the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's when God showed Moshe the new moon and he taught him the laws of Rosh Chodesh. Now that we know was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it says the word Hazeh. Tomar la'alam Rosh Chodesh Afkan Rosh Chodesh. When it says Bayom Hazeh Ba'am Bar Sinai, it's Rosh Chodesh. That's Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And everybody agrees that what the Torah was given to the Jewish nation on a Shabbat. How do they know that? It says by the Ten Commandments, Zachor et Yom Shabbat Lekadesho. Right? Remember the day of Shabbat. Uchtiv Atam, we have another pasuk that was written by the Exodus, Vayom et Moshe La'am, Zachor et Yom Hazeh. Right? God tells the Jewish people the day they left, remember this day. Ma la'alan bi'atsumo shel yom. Just like when God told us to remember the Exodus, it was on that day. Zachor te yom hazeh, afkan bi'atsumo shel yom. So too, when God said Zachor et yom haShabbat, it was talking about that day, which was Shabbat, and that was the day that the Ten Commandments were given. So therefore, we know that Matan Torah was also on Shabbat. And we know Rosh Chodesh was the day that they arrived at Midbar Sinai. So what's the argument over here? Ki peligi bikbi'ad diyarha. The mahloket was, which day was Rosh Chodesh? Rabbi Yosef Savar Bihad B'Shabbat Ikba Yarha. So Rabbi Yosef says like this, Rosh Chodesh Sivan that year was Sunday. Bihad B'Shabbat Ikba Yarha was the Rosh Chodesh. Ubhad b'Shabbat lo amar lehu velo midi. On Sunday there were no correspondence between God and Moshe, and Moshe and the people. Because we're going to learn that Moshe Rabbeinu went up a few times, bringing down different messages. On Sunday there was no correspondence. Why? Mishum chulsha de'orha. Because it was a travel day. And since the people were tired from their travelings, so therefore that was a rest day. It was a travel day. There was no correspondence between Moshe, God, and the people. Betrei b'Shabbat, on Monday, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the first time at Har Sinai, and he came down on Monday that same day. Ve'amalu, which is according to this opinion, we say that Moshe went up in the morning, but could be he came down in the afternoon. We're not going with the opinion that says he went up and came down in the morning. It could be he came up, went up Monday morning and came back that afternoon. And what did he tell them? Amalu, he told the people the word of God. Ve'atem timyuli mamlechet kohanim ve'goy kadosh. It was on that day that God said, you're going to be a nation of princes to me, a holy nation, etc. Now, Bitlata, on Tuesday, Amar Lehu Mitzvat Hagbala, Moshe Rabbeinu came down and gave them the laws of Hagbala, which was the laws of not coming near the mountain, which means they were allowed, they had to actually barricade, so to speak, the mountain, nor the animals, nor they were able to come close, and Moshe warned them in the name of God that anybody that comes close to the mountain and touches it will die. That was on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, that's when they got the law of Pirisha. That's when they got the law of abstaining from their wives. Exactly. As the Gemara says, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. That started on Sunday. Sunday was Rosh Chodesh. Monday was the first discussion about Temtim Olechet Kohanim. Tuesday, Hagbala. Wednesday, Perisha. V'Rabbanan Savi, the rabbis just say the same thing, but they push everything up a day. Because they say Rosh Chodesh was on a Monday. So Rosh Chodesh on a Monday, what happened? Second line of the Gemara, Betre b'Shabbat Ikba Yarcha. On Monday was Rosh Chodesh. Betre b'Shabbat lo amar lehu velo midi mishum choshal de'orcha. Monday there was no correspondence. Why? Because it was a travel day. They were weak. Betlata amar lehu v'atimtu li b'mlechet kohanim. On Tuesday they got the message of that we're going to be a nation of princes. Ba'arba'a amar on Wednesday mitzvat Akbala. They got the law of Akbala, which means surrounding the mountain. Hamishi Avud Pirisha, and on Thursday they actually received the law of Pirisha. So it comes out we have a mahlok, and now we see the source of the mahloket that we learned earlier. Which day was the Pirisha on? Was it on a Wednesday? Was it on a Thursday? What is that based on? It's based on when Rosh Chodesh Sivan, what day in a week did that take place that year? Did it happen on a Sunday? Then Pirisha was on a Wednesday. Or did it happen on a Monday? And then Pirisha was on a Thursday. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.